So let us begin by singing our first hymn.
Unto the Lord. And thou forgivest me. sinner. Confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent spirit of sufferings and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We continue with the intro printed in your bulletin. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me.
Save your servant, and trust in you. You are my God.
Be gracious to me, O Lord.
For unto you I will cry all today.
Glad in the soul of your servant.
For to you, O Lord, will I lift up my soul.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer.
Listen to my plea for grace.
But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious.
Turn to me and be gracious to me.
Give your strength to your servant.
And save the son of your maidservant.
Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me.
Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God.
Be gracious to me, O Lord.
For to you will I cry all day.
Oh.
O Lord, we implore you, let your continual pity cleanse and defend your church, because she cannot continue in safety without your aid. Preserve her evermore by your help and goodness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Questions 30, 31, and 32 from the Catechism. What does it mean to trust in God above all things? It means that we rely upon God to take care of us and to keep all of his promises to us. Isaiah 30. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties upon him, because he cares for you. Philippians 4. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And they also ask you to look at Proverbs 3 and Psalm 115. What does it mean to fear, love, and trust in God above all things? It means that we look to God first and foremost for all of our well-being, rather to human achievements, such as intellect, technology, or medical advances. Then I want you to look at Genesis 11. Human goodness or religious devotion, Luke 18. Money and possessions, again Luke 18. Pleasures such as food, drink, sex, sports, or entertainment, 1 Corinthians 6. Family and friends, Matthew 10. What happens when you trust in these things rather than our Creator? We confuse God the Creator with His creation and thus break all the other commandments as well. Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Trinity is written in 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her again and said, Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which Elijah spoke to her. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. We continue with a psalm. We're in the gradual for the day. It is better to take refuge in the Lord. It is better to take refuge in the Lord. Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Galatia, chapters 5 and 6, beginning with verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and also so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make joyful noise in the rock of our salvation. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 6th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 24. Serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day of its own trouble. Here endeth the Gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for ourselves. come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy church and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
verse is based off of part of verse 31 and 33. Therefore, do not worry, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Now the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods. The Small Catechism explains the first commandment. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Luther then goes on to explain in the Large Catechism that whatever you fear, love, and trust in most is your God. So if you fear, love, and trust in money, or your job, your family and friends, or sports, more than you fear, love, and trust in God, then money, your job, your family and friends, or sports is your false God. A false God is an idol. Dear saints in Christ, Jesus explains this by saying that whatever you serve is your God. He says that you cannot serve two masters, or you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. So you cannot serve both God and mammon. Mammon is earthly wealth, and it is often translated as money. Therefore, if you serve money or any other earthly wealth, then money and wealth are your false gods. You can identify your false gods by observing what you serve rather than the true God. Nevertheless, what does Jesus mean by serve? He certainly isn't forbidding you from working. Scripture frequently commands you to work. He isn't forbidding you from using money. Jesus tells you to make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. So how then can you examine yourself to see if you have made mammon into a false god? So do you worry? Absolutely. Worry is one of the telltale signs that you are setting and serving mammon as your idol. Worry is the toxic odor of idolatry. Anxiety is the decaying stench of worshiping the false god of mammon. You see, when you serve money, possessions, and all types of mammon, worry rises from your heart like a foul guest that disturbs all of your senses. And why does worshiping mammon make you worry? Why does serving the god of money cause a lethal smell to trouble all of your senses? Because mammon is a cruel god. It is disloyal. It doesn't promise you anything for certain. Everything money does give you can be taken away and destroyed. Mammon will make you its slave, but it will abandon you for another at the drop of a hat. So those who worship the god of money will worry. They will be anxious that they won't have enough. They will worry that they will lose what they have. And the more you worry, the more you will lose what you have. And the more you worry, the more securely you will be enslaved to this cruel god as the deadly odor of idolatry overpowers all of your senses. So Jesus seeks to free you from your slavery to this false god by getting you to stop worrying. Now that seems like an easy enough task. I mean, who wants to be a slave to a false god? Who wants to suffer from anxiety and worry all the time? Still, surprisingly, this is a near impossible task. Although worrying stinks, although serving mammon leads to bitterness, hatred, and eventually hell, people refuse to be convinced to stop worshiping that terrible false god and smelling its poisonous fumes. Jesus seeks to prove to you to stop worry by pointing out how God takes care of his creation, even though it does not worry or slave away. He points first to the birds of the air, who neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value than they, Jesus concludes? I mean, birds don't toil for their food. They simply gather what God produces for them. And in a very, very real sense, so do you. You are commanded to work by God. But it is God who provides for you, even with the greater labor, the study of science, and more labor that goes into growing crops and producing food. You're simply gathering from creation what God has put into your hands. You can't make seeds grow. You can't make crops succeed. It is God who grants growth and provides the bounty. So if God provides the birds of the air, over which he has granted you dominion, and for whom he has provided no savior, how much more will he care for you? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And this brings us to the seed, which none of you have planted, but which produced a harvest greater than any. This seed is the seed of the woman. It's Jesus Christ, whom God sowed into the ground after sending him to be crucified for your sins. You did not prepare the soil for this seed except by your sins, which required such a sacrifice. You did not raise him up either. Nevertheless, by God's sowing and reaping, you receive the gift of eternal life through faith. So why do you worry about such little things as what you will eat? Then Jesus points you to the flowers of the field, who again neither toil nor spin, yet are arrayed in finer garments than even King Solomon, the richest and most splendid kings on earth. If God so clothes the grass, which will be burned tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, for whom he has sent his son to die? And indeed, God does clothe you with an even more beautiful attire than all the flowers of the earth. He has clothed you with the very garments of salvation, in a robe of righteousness. Yes, in Christ Jesus himself, when he baptized you into Christ's name, and that garment, washed in the blood of Christ, will grant you access into the very gates of paradise, where you will live with Christ forever. So why are you worried about what you will wear? In the end, your worry doesn't do you any good. It doesn't make you any richer or make you live any longer. Life is more than what you worry about anyway. It is the unbelieving pagans who are anxious for these things. But it should not be so for the children of God. God already knows all the things you need before you know that you need them. He has planned how he will provide them for you. If God did not spare his own son, but gave him up to death in order to save your soul from hell, why would he fail at this much smaller thing than caring for your body? If he has made sure to supply you with eternal life, why do you think he will fail to supply you for the things of your temporal life? Jesus' reasoning is perfect. You cannot argue against it. Worrying is a waste of time. Even worse, it is harmful to your soul. Worrying is the decaying smell of breaking the first commandment by fearing, loving, and trusting in the creation rather than the Creator. So stop worrying. Stop worshiping mammon. Rid yourself of this rotten smell. But how? The more you worry, the more you worry. The more you smell of the stink of idolatry, the more it captivates you or your senses to make you a total slave. Nevertheless, Jesus tells you how to escape from worry and to flee from the slavery of worshiping money. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, the kingdom of God is the reign of God. God reigns over you by sending His Son into human flesh to suffer and die for your sins. God reigns over you by sending His Holy Spirit through His Word and sacraments to bring you to repentance and create saving faith in your heart so that you may receive Christ and all of His benefits of His sacrifice for you. Jesus and His disciples prepared people for the coming of God's kingdom by preaching, "Repent and believe in the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So when Jesus tells you to flee from idolatry by seeking first His kingdom, He is telling you to repent of your sins, to believe in the gospel, and immerse yourself in His word. Receive His true body and blood in the sacrament, and live as a citizen of heaven here on earth. As St. Paul declares in his letter to the Christians in Rome, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." If you refuse to feed or clothe your children, you're rightly accused of child abuse. It is your responsibility to give your children proper food and drink. But the kingdom of God is not a matter of food and drink. How much more guilty are you of child abuse if you refuse to provide your children with the things of the kingdom of God? Christ does not accept any excuse for putting other things before His kingdom, like buying a field or 5 yoke of oxen, or getting married is not a reason to delay seeking Christ's kingdom. Cooking and cleaning, as Martha did, is not better than sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to His teaching. Burying one's father isn't even a good reason to delay seeking the kingdom, because absolutely none of these things will grant you eternal life. Nevertheless, slaving and worrying over these things certainly can prevent you from entering eternal life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, St. Paul tells you, that the righteousness of God may be manifested to you through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. God's righteousness is Christ's righteousness. And Christ gives you His righteousness through faith. Christ Jesus made you right with God by bearing your sins for you. His righteousness gives you access to eternal life. And He gives you this righteousness in His church, which is the kingdom of God, where His gospel is proclaimed and His sacraments are given. Outside of God's kingdom, and is outside of Christ's church, there is no true peace. There is no true joy. There is no righteousness or eternal life. But within the community of saints, where Christ tends to His sheep, you find a refuge from anxiety and worry. You find peace, which the world cannot give you. You learn that all your physical needs are cared for by your Creator, and He has supplied you with an eternal kingdom for your home, where the gospel of Christ is preached. The disgusting odor of idolatry is cleared from your senses, from the senses of those who believe, and worries then put to flight. The gospel causes you to see clearly that God cares for you now and forever. So while you labor on this earth, the disgusting odor of idolatry will always linger close by. Satan will throw all that he has at you, whether it's riches or poverty, to cause the unpleasant smell of worry to return. And as sinners, you will struggle. Nevertheless, consider the saints of old who bowed and worried before you, and how they cast their anxieties upon the God who cares for them. Jeremiah, after King Nebuchadnezzar sacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, wrote these beautiful words and lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. For the psalmist shouts to God, whom am I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may have failed, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Dear saints in Christ, do not despair when you worry. Rather, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Run to the gospel of Christ. Absolutely nothing else on earth can clear the lethal odor of idolatry from your senses and can give you peace from your worry. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your heart in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we know that you are near and that we need not be anxious about anything. Grant us faith to rejoice in all things, including sickness, injury, stress, and need. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, you have poured out your Spirit upon the church, that the gospel of your kingdom would be believed throughout the world. Bless the proclamation of your word by pastors and missionaries, as you have said, that many would hear and believe. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Eternal Lord, in view of every current distress at the present form of this world passes away, give consistency and contentment to your people in their God-given stations. Give comfort and faithfulness to the married, and strengthen them to pass on the faith to the next generation. Join kindness also to the unmarried and assure them of the holiness of their place in life, that they may be freed from anxiety and attend to the holiness in body and spirit, undividedly devoted to you. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly King, you provide for all of our needs of body and soul. Grant us good government and faithful rulers, while reminding us always that all provision comes from you. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, according to your good and gracious will, give power to the faint and increase strength to the sick and afflicted, especially Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Moe, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lydia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace and Melinda. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have planted us in Christ by your word and spirit through the waters of holy baptism. May those who partake in his body and blood this day be firmly rooted and built up in your Son, that established in the faith, we may walk in him and abound in thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Steve and Calvin continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious Lord, you sustained Elijah and your saints of old through weak and woe, plenty and scarcity. Inspire us in the light of their faith to walk through all circumstances until we join them in your unending banquet. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, give us such joy in pursuing what is true, just, pure, and worthy of praise, that spurning the temptations of this world, we would suffer no anxiety. Let our trust be placed fully in Christ, and let our hope rest in the life of the world to come, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with hymn 307.
Thank you.
we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Savior Jesus Christ. Strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life. Holy peace. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep in your baptismal grace. Take, drink, true blood of Christ. Take, drink, the 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 true blood of Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. True body of Christ, given to death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep you baptismal grace. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ.
Please rise. We continue with the New Testament. That of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Peace.